And we're going to start with a word of prayer this morning on our new topic, Fresh Start. God, I just thank you so very much for the people that you have brought here in this place, our visitors and guests, some from out of state, family, friends, Lord, and also those that couldn't be with us today. We do pray for healing and strength for Sonia and for others that are unable to be with us today. God, I pray that as we open your word today on a new topic, that you would cause the Bible to jump to life, to jump off the pages, cause us to be able to hear your voice, cause us to learn more, to dig deeper, or to study during the week and to be an example to those that you've put around us, Lord, to share your love with them and to be a blessing to them. I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I remember when I was a kid, I had an uncle who got a video camera. Now, most weeks, I'm the oldest white guy in the room, not today, thankfully, but so I'm one of those guys who a VHS video camera was like a crazy new invention. And so I think I was maybe 5 years old. Might have been a little bit older, at a family party, and I had this uncle that had this video camera at the party, and we were all checking it out. It was kind of crazy, and I'd had grass pollen hay fever when I was a kid, and so I often was like congested and stuff, and I don't know if you ever, you know, when you're a little kid, you have kind of a, you know, a nasal obstruction, and it's just kind of bothering you. You know, there's all these people around, and so you don't want to go digging, but, you know, you're just, it's like bothering you, and it's really just uncomfortable. And this video camera was around and in my face, and at the same time, I'm kind of trying to, you know, deal with what's going on. And, you know, and I have my uncle, he had two younger kids that are my cousins that are like most of my Norwegian family, tall and slender and blonde and beautiful, and I'm the opposite of those things. And so I'm just kind of like awkwardly trying to deal with my nose. Well, of course, since that was the first week they had the camera, that was, of course, one of the tapes that most often got replayed. And my uncle's wife had a pretty large extended family. And so, of course, this meant that there were a lot of people that were around that knew me as that kid. Have you ever felt like you needed a fresh start? I'm just kind of telling a story on myself here, a little bit of, you know, kind of being known as that kid that had a nose issue. It's easy for us, whether it's who our parents were, where we were born, what language we speak, our accent, our education, or maybe our approach to our education, or what we did as a kid. It's easy for a reputation to follow you, to hound you, to become a part of how everyone views you. And it seems like the only thing you can do is move away to get a fresh start. Because when you get to a new town, nobody knows you unless your cousins follow you. And so you have a fresh start. You have a new reputation. You may remember some of the old Southwest Airlines TV commercials, you know, want to get away. It's easy for that to happen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You just want a new... How much more so is it in our spiritual life? You know, one of the things we say here is there's no perfect people allowed. Yeah. Right? There's not a person in this room, not a human in this room that's perfect. Right. Mm-hmm. We've all made mistakes. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand from the Bible what that means is that in our sin, we're made separate from God. Right? So we all need a fresh start. We're all in that place. And whether you have been in church your whole life or this is your first try, you need a fresh start. Yeah. You have always been in that place because when you are at a place of living in sin apart from God, that means that your eternal destination is hell. Now, we've talked about these things in weeks past. You can go on iTunes or our website and listen to the message on heaven and hell. You can listen to the series called Heavy, where we talk about sin and what that means. That's not our topic for today, but we've all been in that place of needing a fresh start. And when you need a fresh start in your spirit, when sin is what separates you from the living God, the only true source of love, hope, peace, and joy, that is much more serious than being the kid known for other things. Do you hear what I'm saying? I want to start off with a passage from Titus that I want to read to you before we go to John 3. I have it on the screen here for you. When God our Savior revealed His kindness and love, He saved us. Not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of His grace, He declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Now, we're going to look at this passage from Titus a couple of times over the next couple of weeks and what it has to do with this topic of a fresh start. But does it make sense? Is it ringing true to you? I mean, there's some big words in here. There's some kind of Christianese, spiritual $20 words in here. But there's truth to this, and it tells us a lot about our salvation, why we need it, what it means, and how we know if we're saved. Now, let's go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Now, this we know is written by John, one of Jesus' friends, one of His disciples, one of His followers. The one who was near to Him, the one that was dear to Him, that had a friendship familiarity with Him, one that walked with Him all the way through, and one who served as a pastor, elder in the church after He left. Now, I'd like to start in John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you, and Jesus is using the plural you here, and later in the chapter, so almost like saying y'all, all y'all, which is the plural of y'all, must be born again. Y'all must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going, so you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. Now, I want to pause there. We're going to pick up and come back to this and read through 21, but let's pause there first and try to kind of take in a little bit of what's going on. Now, Nicodemus is a person who has authority. He is a person who has leadership. He is a person with a good reputation. He's a person that has a good home. And from geographic, historical research, we know kind of roughly where the house was. And so he would have been upwind from a little bit of a valley with an arbor of trees that would have been fragrant and late at night. And oftentimes, as it even does to this day, wind would be blowing, a slight breeze would be blowing the fragrance of the trees up. And so during this conversation, as Jesus is trying to really throw a hand grenade into the conversation to get the focus off of His miracles and His reputation, and to reveal to us a spiritual truth, who is He talking to and what is going on? Now, Nicodemus is one of those people that who his parents were was important. What money he had was important. And he had a position that was both in protecting the spiritual code of both the Torah and the Talmud, but also was one of political authority. So, it's strange that he would come to Jesus and ask questions, right? And we'll come back to that in just a moment. Now, he's trying to focus on the miraculous signs of Jesus and kind of putting Jesus up on a pedestal, but yet he is kind of emptying himself and asking an open-ended question, and Jesus makes this statement that's a little bit crazy, right? I mean, I don't know if you're aware, but the word Christian was not a polite word. You know, I've been called cracker before. You know, I mean, it was not a polite word, right? For Christian was a word that they used, right, in Macedonia to make fun of people who were following Jesus. Nowadays, we have churches that are called Christian, but where the Bible is not clearly taught as to repentance of sins, God's miraculous salvation. The ones where that is taught and where people have an active, alive relationship with Jesus Christ and they are endeavoring to share that good thing that they've found with other people. Now today in American pop culture, those are called born-agains. Have you know that one of the reasons people have a problem with Tim Tebow and not Neon Deion is because Tim Tebow is one of those born-agains? Am I the only person in the room? All right, let's just talk real. Where do we get this idea, born again? Well, it's the idea of fresh start. Where do we get that idea? We get that idea from Jesus. Are you with me? That's where we get that idea. Now, what is that idea? Well, we're going to need to take a little bit of time to dig into that. But you need to know that this idea is not about some religious person in the modern era, like a bowl of cereal with the flakes, fruits, and nuts, coming up with this idea of born again. No, this idea comes from Jesus, right? It's a fresh start. It's starting over. It's starting new. And it comes from Jesus. I definitely hit a time in my life where I was hurt and angry. And what I did was I would start to kind of put up walls and put on a face to be fake with people to try to hide where I was hurt and where I was angry. I don't know if you've ever had people say things about you or do things to you, whether it's in public or in private. I had things that happened to me in public that made my life difficult, got to the point where I didn't live as normal because I was hurt and I was angry about the things that had been done and had been said. Now, what that developed into was that I became a mean and manipulative person. I got to a place in my life where I could pretend with the best of them, and then I would use people to make me feel better. This is a part of my story. And there were people that knew how mean, how bitter, how angry I was, and there were a lot of people who didn't, because I was good. I could manipulate people. I could control people. Before I was 20, I was so good. I had a sales job. I could get people's social security number over the phone in less than 90 seconds. I became a mean and manipulative person. And in my sin, I needed a fresh start. I needed Jesus. Right. Now, we learn lessons from Nicodemus that helped me and will help you as well. Now, Nico, as some people like to call Nicodemus, or Nick, we'll use Nick. There's a couple of lessons that we can learn from Nicodemus. Well, number one, Nicodemus makes time. Have you ever heard people say, well, I'm just too busy? Yep. Right? They'll tell you about how broken they are, how hurt they are, how jacked up their life is. But if they ask you about why you're different and you start to talk about Jesus, they say, well, I'm just too busy. Or I'm busy enough to come to church once a month. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on anyone's toes there. What does Nicodemus do? He starts by making time. This was a guy who had activity in his home pretty much 24/7, right? There's always stuff going on for Nicodemus. He has as good excuse as anybody to say, I'm too busy. But what does he do? He makes time to be with Jesus. Now, second, he's honest, right? I mean, there's a little bit of kind of misdirection in the first part, but when Jesus says born again, Nicodemus is honest. He doesn't pretend that he understands what that means. Hello?
Yep.
Now, I know it's easy when you come in on a Sunday to pretend that you know what it means. That's why we choose to read from the New Living when we read the Bible here. That's why we try to use songs and language during sermons to try to make it as easy as possible so that it's accessible, so that it's an easy on-ramp for you to understand Jesus in the Bible. Because I know that there are most people that attend church on a Sunday in the United States are pretending. Come on. I've been around long enough. All right, I've been in 48 of 50 states. I've been in hundreds of churches because of past work that I've done. Most people are pretending. Nicodemus does not pretend. He says, "What the heck are you talking about?" Right? Yeah. What exactly does that mean? He makes time and he's honest. We need to be honest with God. Now, let me give you a secret. Let you in on a secret. He already knows. He already knows you don't know. All right. Number three, Nicodemus, he empties himself. Right? There is a, when Jesus goes deeper to explain, you notice that in the Bible, when Jesus tells stories or he uses a one-liner, he doesn't always explain what he meant. Sometimes it even says, then they walk away and he explains it to the disciples, but not everyone that he spoke to. There were many occasions where he spoke to other Pharisees where he said things that he didn't explain. There's something about the way that Nicodemus asked the question that he asked, where Nicodemus was emptying himself and he was saying, okay, Jesus, I want to hear what you have to say. And when we come to Jesus, if we want to have a fresh start, we have to empty ourselves. You, common in kung fu movies, you cannot fill a cup that is already full. Right? If you come to God thinking you are full or full of yourself, He cannot fill you up with Him. You have to empty yourself. Well, I think this and I think that and I believe this and I believe that. Wait a minute. Who are you? He is God, your creator. Yahweh, the name of God, our creator and our redeemer. We got to make time, empty, make time, be honest, and empty yourself. And the fourth lesson we learned from Nicodemus is become intimate. Nicodemus is in a face-to-face, right? And we see later that Nicodemus comes and he brings money to help pay for the burial process of Jesus' body. He stays around the journey. He stays involved. There is an intimacy of what's going on with Nicodemus. A couple weeks ago when we talked about the vision that we have for this church over the next year, I want you to hear me say something. Our church doesn't have a vision. God's vision has a church. God's vision has a church. And everything that we've talked about and what we believe God's called us to do and where we want to serve this city and the things that we want to accomplish, it is not because we have ideas. It is not because I have a vision. It is not because this church has a vision. It is because God's vision has a church. See, people need Jesus. The church is God's vehicle. Because what you see God after from the very beginning in Genesis all the way through here in John and later on, God is after changed lives. God is constantly saying, come as you are. Don't stay that way. God's after changed lives. That's the purpose in what Jesus is saying. Amen? Now, let's just define a little bit. Let's put some words, let's put some language and try to help us define from a Bible perspective, what is this fresh start thing? What is this born again thing? Let's define it a little bit, then we'll read the rest of our text today. A fresh start, a second chance at life. By turning away from our sin and turning to Jesus, we are provided an opportunity to be new. And that means an opportunity to be new completely, completely new. We've already talked about here, there's no perfect people allowed here, and we all need a fresh start. Now, what else does a second chance mean? We'll use kind of a Bible word, regeneration. This a word to define rebirth and born again, regeneration, or some people would use the word conversion. When we talk about those things, what are we talking about? Let's define it. To cause to be completely reformed or improved. To reestablish on a new basis. It's a new beginning, a creative act of God. That means you can't do it yourself. You can't say, Shabbat, 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 I'm new. Doesn't work. It's a creative act of God. You also can't say, okay, I choose Jesus, it's done. No, wait. Let's back up. You're not able to truly choose Jesus unless God gives you the ability. Read your Bible. God gives us a choice, but we are on our own. We are headed our own direction completely, 100%. The Bible term is enslaved to our sin until God, in His grace and by His mercy, reaches out to us and gives us the ability to call out to Him. So when I pray for people, not yet believers, I pray, Holy Spirit, give them an ability to call out to You. It is a spiritual rebirth. Right? It is spiritual renovation, renewal, recreation, restoration of things to an intended state. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I definitely experienced in my own life and the journey that I was talking about before, broken relationships. You might find yourself at a place of, God has started my fresh start, but now I need to apply that to relationships in my life. I need a fresh start in relationships. The principle is the same. You can't make it happen on your own. God needs to be involved. When Rebecca and I pray together as a married couple, you know, married 16 years, we pray, God, You be the center of our marriage. I'm not just saying that, we do it. All right, we did it before we got married. We've done it throughout. God, You be the center. See, I've noticed that when we pray that, it's more difficult to fuss at each other. Because if I'm praying, God, I want Your way in my marriage, it's kind of hard for me to be selfish. Me to have a stinky attitude, want credit every time I do the dishes, or, you know, try to use her to give me chocolate cake. Jesus, You be the center of my relationship. Some of us need a fresh start in our identity. We talked about this a lot in the Heavy series. You have taken on an identity that is not a God-given identity. But most importantly, we need a fresh start with God in our relationship with Him. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, Let's read the rest of our passage here. Let's pick this up in verse 9, and we'll read through verse 21. How are these things possible? Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, You are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things? I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in Him will have eternal life. Now let's pause here because that's a little weird. If you flip in your Bible, which we don't have time to today, back to Numbers chapter 21, verses 8 and 9, we have a story of where the people of God, the Israelites, were sinning against God, and there was a plague of snakes, if you will. Poisonous snakes were coming, biting them, and they were dying from these bites from poisonous snakes. They called out to God for mercy. God told Moses to create a bronze snake and put it on a pole and lift it up. And the miracle was that anyone who would look on that snake on the pole would be healed. It was the perfect antivenom. Right? So that's what Jesus is referring to. Now remember, Jesus is in a stage, he's in a season of predicting His death, burial, and resurrection. It's like Brittany said earlier, if you think that Jesus is just a good man, that's a little crazy. No, seriously. I'm not just trying to be funny. That's a little crazy. Jesus is predicting over and over His death, his burial and resurrection. I don't know many good guys. I don't know any good guys who do that. They're in padded rooms. Okay? So Jesus is referring to this story that Nicodemus would be very familiar with, because that was in the first five books of the Bible, which Nicodemus had memorized and recited from memory before age 12 in his bar mitzvah. Okay? So Jesus refers to that story before he says these next words. It's important for you to understand that. So it is Jesus who says, verse 16, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." I wish people would quote those two verses together instead of one by itself. Carrying on here, verse 18, Jesus continues, "There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact: God's light came into the world, and people love the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. And all who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so others can see that they are doing what God wants." Now, we need to have a little bit of understanding of what Jesus is talking about here when he uses this word light and this word evil. Okay, this will help us understand being born again and all this mysterious stuff that Jesus already told us we can't completely understand as humans. Okay? Now, light from the early time. You know, remember, he's talking to Nicodemus, who already had all this scripture, all these stories from the Old Testament, which, honestly, reading through the Bible every year, like the whole Bible, getting a read through the Bible in a year plan, benefits you so much. And that's a part of why I said the things I've said earlier about how it is God's vision, and God's vision has changed lives. From Genesis through the end of the Old Testament, it is the same. And you need to get that in your system. And if you're not on a read through the Bible in a year program, it's kind of hard to get that into your system. God has always been about changing people for the good. But Jesus refers to this light. Okay? And that means something to Nicodemus, because the presence of God in different forms and at different stages in the story up till now, God's physical presence on the earth. What I mean by that is when God's presence in this room becomes so strong and your awareness of him becomes so acute that you are overwhelmed, that you cannot stay in your seat, you cannot stand, you're on your face like the elders before the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." The occasions when God's presence came to earth like that were occasions of light. The fire and the burning bush. Right? The pillar of fire. There are many occasions where God's presence meant light. It was also a sign of blessing. It was a sign of the goodness of God. Now, we pass over this word evil, and it's kind of been abused in our culture, and we don't really have an understanding of it and what Jesus is saying. So, instead of walking you through a Greek 101, I want to give you a little example. We are created with purpose. Right? We have a purpose to serve. What's the purpose of this? It's to hold a plant, a flower, right? You don't have to have a pile of dirt on your windowsill, right? It's designed with a purpose. It has a purpose in mind. Now, evil means that you can't accomplish the purpose. Evil means that which is broken, that which cannot accomplish the purpose. But Jesus, in his language and what he's saying and the phrase that he's using, is three different levels. Okay? Jesus is talking about three different levels of evil and of brokenness. And the writer of Hebrews says it like this: how then will we overcome if we ignore so great a salvation? I want to dig deep so you understand what your salvation means. Right? Now, the word that Jesus uses in evil refers to the source, the cause, right? So use this hammer to break this pot. Jesus uses a word on three levels. It's talking about that which causes the brokenness, the inability to function in its intended state. Are you with me? That which causes it. Now, you might have self-inflicted wounds. Or your wounds might be from someone else. Three Stooges. This is not a Three Stooges hammer, in case you try to pick it up later, okay? Someone else might cause the wounds. It's the source. You, as we understand, are born into sin. It might be that human nature, that sin nature that you are born with. Jesus refers to light overcoming the evil, overcoming three levels, that which causes the brokenness. If we had the slow-mo guys here to put on YouTube, the process of the brokenness. How many of you know when you have a deep wound, you can go back and relive it? Right? We have a tendency to relive the process of us being hurt. Maybe it's just me. Jesus says the source, the process of the damage, the process of the being broken, and the result. And the result itself. It's these three different levels that Jesus is talking about here when he's saying, you can't go to heaven unless you are born again. Nicodemus says, what do you mean born again? And Jesus says, this is a spiritual thing. You cannot completely understand it in your human state. But if I am to explain it somehow, it would be, remember the light of the presence of God? The light of the presence of God is trying to draw you out from your evil. And it can overcome, it can heal, it can make right the evil, the source, the process, and the result. That's what Jesus is talking about. It's really important that we understand that, because sometimes I think what we can do is we can fall into a place of only giving Jesus credit for one of the three. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus, you can deal with this pain that I feel, but I don't know that you can do anything about what caused it. Or the memories, the flashbacks, the process of me reliving it. You can deal with that and you can deal with this, but I don't think you can deal with this. Listen, I've done a lot of reading, I've done a lot of study, I've done a lot to try to help people in dealing with their problems, and one thing that I've definitely learned is that people get broken in a lot of different ways. And that we're all broken in some way. But that Jesus is the answer to all brokenness. So what does this salvation mean? This salvation means your fresh start. You are new. And sometimes that means you've got to stand there and pound your fist and say it over and over and over until you believe it. I've had Sunday mornings that were like that for me. Standing there trying to sing along through tears, pounding my fist on the chair in front of me and saying, I'm new, I'm new, I'm new. Sometimes you've got to do that. You've got to get a hold of a scripture. God so loved the world, right? Not to condemn the world, but that through him it might be saved. Whatever phrase it is you've got to hold on to, but you've got to find something to hold on to say over and over again and apply it to that area of your life. You are new. You are saved. It's settled. It's done. Once you come to this place of new birth and fresh start, it's settled. You don't have to do anything more to earn God's favor. You don't have to do anything to prove who you are. Not to me, not to anyone else in this room, and certainly not to God. You are new. You are saved. You have eternal life. You will not be judged for your sin. Jesus makes it clear of what God is saying. Now, let's just to go one more level. Let's go back to John 3:16, okay? God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, what do we learn from this passage of Scripture about our fresh start? Well, number one, we learn love is God's motive. You notice that there's nothing that Jesus says about this. God's going to give you a fresh start so that you will do blah, blah, blah. Like, He doesn't even give Nicodemus His own to-do list. Do you understand what that means to you? God's motive is not selfish. God's sacrificial love is His motive. Number two, Jesus is God's mirror. Jesus literally, and this is why reading about Jesus is so helpful, Jesus literally came to earth in a body to represent God to us. Jesus is God's mirror. Number three, the invitation is to whoever. You've probably heard this said before, but they got to have a focus. God so loved the world. That means you, your crew, and those that brew. Or whatever. Right? The ones you don't like. Whatever your deal is, the invitation that Jesus puts out here is to whoever. Yeah. Whoever will respond. Right? Number four, it is a mistake to perish. If you make a decision, you're not going to respond to Jesus, you are making a mistake. Let me just say this again, because I know that some of you here, I'm just talking to the convinced and hopefully driving your conviction deeper, but I think this also applies to how you relate to other people, both that you might relate to other people with a greater grace and with a deeper conviction. Some of you need to stop, rewind, play that again in your head. Right. A greater grace and a deeper conviction. It is a mistake to perish. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, repent or you will perish. Jesus makes it clear, if you choose to not accept this great gift of salvation, if you choose, you're going to come to the judgment day, and no matter what good deeds you say that you did, Jesus has the ability to look at you and say, depart from me, I never knew you. Jesus is making it clear, it is a mistake to perish. We need to understand this. Jesus was trying to make it clear. Number five, the benefit of a fresh start is eternal life. The benefit is eternal life. And we've recently talked about what that means, because it means so much more than what a lot of people haven't given any time or energy to understand. What does that mean? They think, I'm just going to be sitting on a cloud. I got to do church every day, 24/7. No, that's not what the Bible says heaven is going to be. But what it does mean, life, unity with the one true God, the only source of love, hope, peace, and joy, never ends. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah.
Good. That sounds good to me. Yeah. That sounds like a really good idea. That's the benefit. Now, we've got to understand that this only comes through the supernatural. It only comes through the supernatural. This only comes from the power of the living God. God wants you to start something new. And God didn't lay all this out so that you could try it on your own. That's why one of the things we say here is nobody walks alone. That's why we've got life groups. That's why the purpose of every activity that we do is our big three: connect, grow, and share. That's the purpose. That's how we evaluate whether anything that we do, whether it's singing songs or it's going through the Bible on a Sunday morning, or it's our life groups, or the party that we're going to have on October 31st, the purpose, how we filter, how we measure, everything that we do, is it helping people connect, grow, and share? Are you connecting with other life-giving relationships? Are you connecting with the God of the Bible? Are you growing? Are you sharing? God did not intend for you to get this fresh start and to be on your own. He intended for you to be with family. Can we stand? You know, just close with a word of prayer this morning. God, I thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, I thank you that in you we have a fresh start. I thank you that John 3:16 isn't just a cliche, something on a wall, but it is Jesus talking about the power of salvation. Lord, the power that can overcome anything that we are facing. I thank you that in you we have a fresh start. Lord, I pray that as we dig into the Bible, as we read John 3 this week, and as we talk about it with friends, with family, with neighbors, with coworkers, and as we open up the Bible during the week and bring people over to our homes and bring people back here next Sunday, that you would help it to be life, that you would help it to be joy, to be real, that we would see supernatural change, that which we cannot do, Lord, a fresh start. I thank you for it, and just pray your blessing, Lord God, on the food we'll share, the fun we'll have today, in our time with friends and family. I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, thank you so much.